were just discussing today's news poll with Paul Bongiorno. The lead is slim, 51% to 49%, but Malcolm Turnbull has a commanding lead over Bill Shorten as better PM, 55% to 21%, which seems as good a time as any for the new Special Minister of State, Mal Brough, to begin to think about electoral reform. Mal Brough's in our Parliament House studios. Minister, welcome to breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Good to be with you.
You've put Senate voting reform on the agenda on the very day you were sworn into the job. Why is it so important?
Well, I think the strength of our democracy goes to just how much that the public are engaged. And if they can't see, if they don't have transparency, if they don't understand what they're doing when they walk into the ballot box, and I'm not talking about House of Representatives, we're talking about the Senate with, you know, maybe a 1 meter long ballot paper, where if you choose to actually distribute your own preferences according to your conscience, then the chances of you getting it wrong are probably about 99%. You only got to get one number wrong, repeat a number, miss one, and it's all over. So my view is that we've got to take the long game here. We've got to say what's going to be more powerful in engaging the public in the democratic process with what is incredibly important, that being the Senate, and ensure that we get a Parliament and a Senate that is as representative of our democratic wish as we possibly can.
So taking the long game, what does that mean? Because the Parliamentary Joint Standing Committee on Electoral Matters reported on this more than a year ago, there was bipartisan support for changes, but there's been no formal government response yet. Why hasn't the government moved on it? Is it scared of upsetting the crossbenches?
Well, to be fair, I really don't know why the previous, you know, Abbott government didn't. I now have responsibility, so I fully intend to, first of all, investigate and take consultations to the crossbenchers as well as to my colleagues to find out why it didn't push forward. I mean, I can tell you that as a backbencher, I was agitating for it.
Would you like changes to be made in time for the next election?
Ideally, yes, I would. And I would like to think that they weren't about favouring one side of politics or another. And, you know, in the short term, short electoral cycle, it's more about what is a structural change that strengthens our democracy. You know, the system worked quite well. It's now been gamed. We've seen it for what it is, where you have hard left, people of the hard left, for argument's sake, inadvertently having their vote cast in such a way that it elects a hard right and vice versa, which is totally against what they actually wished to do. I mean, I think you'd find some people horrified to learn that that their vote actually ended up where it did, on both sides of this equation. So give them some confidence, and that actually strengthens our democracy longer term, rather than what is the short-term political gain for any particular political party.
Minister, can we go to one of the other roles as Special Minister for State? You're in charge of overseeing parliamentary entitlements. Some might see that ironic, given your involvement in the pursuit of Peter Slipper over misuse of entitlements a couple of years ago. Can we just go to the Slipper affair? You asked James Ashby, who was then a staffer to Peter Slipper, who you were seeking to run against in the seat of Fisher, against Peter Slipper. You asked James Ashby to copy Peter Slipper's diary, which was then sent to a journalist. Is this fitting behaviour, ethical behaviour, for the Special Minister of State, who, as Labor points out, has responsibility for key integrity agencies like the Commonwealth Ombudsman?
Well, Fran, what you've just said is totally incorrect. So
how is it incorrect?
Well, I'll go to it. First of all, judge me by what I do. My own diary has been up on my website, so everyone can see what I do. My entitlements or my travel, whether I fly economy class, where I fly and what I go, are all there for everyone to see.
Yes.
So first of all, I don't ask anyone to do anything that I'm not prepared to do myself.
That's not really a point, is it? Well, in a 60 Minutes interview last year, you were asked directly, did you ask James Ashby to procure copies of Peter Slipper's diary for you? And you said, yes, I did.
And Fran, these matters have been dealt with by not only, in fact, last night on the ABC, these matters were canvassed, and to the great disgrace of the ABC, they quoted Judge Rares, thank you, which of course just failed to mention that the full bench of the federal court totally exonerated me, totally cleared all of those allegations, and said unequivocally that what Judge Rares had said was in fact totally wrong.
Minister, with respect, that's not what I've gone to. I've asked you, is it fitting behaviour to ask staffers to copy the Speaker's diary?
I know what you are going to, and what you're going to is in fact a misunderstanding. I'm not going to go back and canvass all of these issues. What I can point to is this. You asked me, Is it appropriate to have someone in charge of ministerial arrangements and also entitlements who actually was concerned and remains concerned that the public can have confidence that everything that is spent, every dollar that is spent in the support of an MP or a member or a senator's job is actually an entitlement that meets the public test?
Within the law, though, surely.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And so that is what I've always been strong on. So I've never changed from that, and I will not resile from it today, and I'll make sure that I do my best to give the public confidence. Confidence moving forward that the entitlements are not only within community expectations, but are in fact transparent.
You've also suggested yesterday in some media comments I saw that you and others will work to rein in Malcolm Turnbull if he starts to stray too far to the left. What would constitute that and what would you do?
Look, it was a tongue-in-cheek comment because, as I think Paul Bongiorno related, as you did, is we all learn as we go along. And Malcolm Turnbull, I'm sure, has learnt a tremendous amount from his first time in leadership, as did John Howard, and became, you know, one of Australia's greatest prime ministers. I think everyone acknowledges that. So I have every faith that there will be no requirement behind beyond anyone to do that. He has a very balanced cabinet. And I think the point that someone made today that he'll get whatever he wants through cabinet. What he will respect is also what we call the backbench policy committee processes, where any policy goes there, it's debated, the minister is cross-examined before it goes to the party room. That group of people who are passionate about a particular policy subject get to air their views, their concerns before every member of the party room. The two words I use as part of this process, which takes me back to the Howard era, is respect and trust. Respect and trust of your colleagues, respect and trust of the Prime Minister and his office.
Okay.
If you have both of those, Fran, then you have the processes that work.
All right, Minister, we're at the news. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Fran. Thank you very much.
Mal Brough has come back, a political resurrection to be sure. He's the Special Minister of State and Minister for Defence, Material and Science in the new Turnbull Ministry.